Hello, everyone, and welcome to week four of our Love Island USA wrap up. I'm your host, Kirsten McInnes, and I am joined, as always, by Brian Scally. Scally, how's it going?
I am good. I'm excited to go into what is going to be the last week of Love Island, especially knowing that it's not the last week of Love Island US forever, since we found out we are getting a season two officially.
Yes, we definitely don't want to bury the lead. CBS renewed Love Island, which is so exciting. Like, I don't really think any of us expected that at the start of this. And then the ratings were kind of middling, but yeah, it's coming back. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. See, I was the one who was optimistic last week. You were all down on it, but see where it went.
I'm going to say we manifested it.
Okay, we can agree. We'll share the But I think I sent you like midweek, maybe last week, there was an article with like a CBS executive who was saying, okay, yeah, like obviously we would rather the ratings on CBS to be better, but in terms of it's been our strongest like streaming show, it's trending almost every night on Twitter. So they were measuring like different types of success for the show, and I'm glad that they did, because I do think that it's not typically what the CBS audience will go for, but I think it's a strong brand and someone else would have bought it had they not held on to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the article I saw with the renewal was that, you know, season one of the UK version was also not a huge hit. But after the first season, the fans really spread the word using word of mouth. And they think that the fan base for Love Island USA is similarly engaged. So it's very exciting. I also have some other news that's a blindside for you as well, Scally.
Oh, boy.
So on Tuesday, I'm going to be talking to Cashel and Yeaman.
Ooh.
So it's going to be on one call, so it's going to be really interesting. I'm trying to get an interview with Winston as well. And then Wednesday night, I'm going to be talking to the winning couple.
That's exciting. The winning couple. Oh, look at that. I did not expect that. I'm excited. I don't know if I'm more excited for the winning couple or Cashel, to be honest.
Yeah, I know, because there's just so many people that it's like, would love to talk to all of them, but it just is. That's so much time, you know? I have a full-time job, and unfortunately, that's not interviewing Love Island contestants. So I emailed asking if I could get any more and saying I really wanted to talk to Winston and Cashel. So this is what's happening.
That is great news. Yeah, I mean, especially there's some people where, you know, they go on the show. I don't know if we need to hear from them more on the podcast than we did on the show itself. So especially the ones that you listed, I am excited to listen to.
Yeah, so that should be coming out next week. Really exciting. And as you said, this was the last full week of Love Island. So we only have three more episodes next week to cover. And yeah, so let's jump into it. So at the start of the week, I know it feels like it was 10 years ago, we had the couples Weston and Kelsey, Ray and Caro, Dylan and Alexandra, Zach and Elizabeth, Kira and Eric, and Yeaman and Isada. And it's so nice not having 17 people.
Oh, I am very glad that we don't have to go through everyone. I know we've like made a couple of mix-ups here and there, but we're down to 12. And luckily, this seems to be, spoiler alert, we're getting a couple newbies and it's the last batch.
I mean, I can't imagine how they would have made it work to add any more. A lot of this week is Kira-related drama. So It starts out with Kira being very upset that Cashel is gone. She says things like Cashel was the one who knew her best. She feels lost without him. And she like actively does not want Eric, the man that she chose, to comfort her.
Yeah, not great. I think, like we said, Kira had expressed in the past that sometimes when things get serious, she tends to run from it, and maybe starting to see what happens when that is the case.
Yeah, definitely a bit of a yo-yo situation with her. We also hear Elizabeth talking about how amazing Katrina was, and I just am kind of sad that we didn't really get to see too much of that.
Yeah, Katrina, one of the ones that I'm not upset that we're maybe not getting an exit interview from.
Apparently, but she's wifey.
Great. That is true. That is true. I mean, so apparently she's great, but not really much screen time on this season.
Yeah, definitely. So then Eric and Kira have a conversation. Eric is expressing that he's trying to give her space because, you don't really know how someone grieves after only 4 days, but she isn't really communicating with him. He thinks that she's still caught up on Cashel, and he says he is not going to be put on a back burner. There's something out there for him, and he is going to find it.
Well, doesn't seem like there actually may be something out there for him in terms of Love Island. But this is actually one point where I do agree with Eric in terms of, or at least I sympathize, where he says, like, I don't know how someone grieves. And typically I find that most people will want to comfort someone in the same way that they want someone to handle them when they are going through something. And so if Eric, like, would want to be on his own, like, I don't blame him at all for giving her space. It may end up, I don't know if he really could have salvaged anything if he had, like, you know, been more on top of her.
I feel like the thing is if he had been spending more time with her, she would have just resented him for not being casual. Like, he really was in a no-win situation. And I think he's absolutely right that she's still caught up on casual, which obviously comes out as the week progresses.
Yeah, definitely. Kira pulls away. Eric pulls away. It's kind of mutual at this point.
Yeah, it's fine. They were never meant to be. And we also had a super cute Caro and Ray scene talking about how they don't want to waste time and they want to focus on each other. And they are so cute. Finally, a standable couple.
Oh, I'm so happy. I feel like Caro and Ray, like, really, really shined this week. We'll talk about it all throughout. But I feel like finally, maybe we're getting another contending, you know, couple contending for the winner.
I'm definitely on the same page with that one. I think that they have a good shot, I hope. We get Weston and Kelsey talking about how you have to move fast in here. Weston hates it, but he loves it. And I'm like, sir, on your first date or second, whatever, on one of a very early date, you said you could see yourself coming home to this woman. Don't talk about how you hate me going fast.
Yeah. Oh, I'm ready to have you meet my family after 6 hours, but I hate this. Like, OK, I feel like you're really well suited, actually.
Yeah, I think. He sucks a little bit, maybe more than a little bit. I think we were overrating him last week, as we discussed.
Everyone said Weston was underrated, and that was proven to be false.
Yeah, no, we said no, he's still overrated, and we were right because we're always right because we're great. So Kira talks to Kelsey, asks Kelsey if she'd be open to getting to know new guys. Kelsey says that she and Weston have talked about it and it would only be fair, but she feels like they're doing amazing. Kira says Weston was the hidden catch of the villa. No, ma'am.
Yeah, this is something that was discussed. Like, oh, like, exactly. It's the same concept where, oh, he's underrated. He's the hidden catch. And really definitely singing a different tune by the end of this week.
Yeah, I feel like true catches don't really stay hidden that much, or at least not for so long.
Especially when you're hanging out with them 24/7.
Yeah, like literally an hour feels like a day, right? So then they play a quotation mark game called True Feelings. All Islanders blindfolded, in theory, I guess, to play blind man's bluff, like it's like the 1700s or whatever. But it's just an opportunity for new Islanders to come in on jet skis and join the game to surprise them. And so the reactions were like pretty funny when the blindfolds came off.
Another thing they've done in the UK before, I think it was like a good way, considering they've told them to watch the UK. I wonder how many of them were genuinely surprised. I feel like most of them probably haven't, you know, gotten to every episode, but it was really definitely funny to see them like pull off their blindfolds and just, oh, there's three new people there.
Yeah. And it's always like, I feel like that's why Ariel can get away with like sneaking in so much, because they're at the point where they're so used to just like looking over and seeing a new hot person. So our new Islanders are Jared, who is 27 and a real estate agent from Florida. Anton, who is 24 and a personal trainer. I have no idea where from. And Emily, who is a college student from Long Island, who says, boys, watch out. I'm coming for you. Girls, watch out. I'm coming for your boys.
Yeah. And coming for some of them as well, potentially. Maybe not as strongly as some of us and Kira may have wished, but Emily has really been a breakout star this week.
It's like Emily, very, very beautiful girl. But literally every single person is like, oh my God, that Emily is so hot. And I'm not going to lie, like, she's beautiful, but I didn't realize that she's like the universal attraction, you know?
In a villa full of like all hot people. It's like easy to be like, oh, which one is hotter than the other? But like Emily is a gorgeous girl. Like there's no doubt. Even you could see like all the girls are like, oh my God, like I'm so jealous. Like immediately, not are they really like, you know, jealous, but it's the words they used. And like Emily has her pick of the litter here.
Yeah, absolutely. We also get Caro apparently is super into Asian men. And so Anton is very much her type, but she is apparently not interested.
Yeah. Something extremely exciting. I feel like really looking back, I don't think we had any Asian men or women on this season. We had Katrina, that is true, but she was barely on the season. So I was excited, especially like Asian men are underrepresented on most shows in general, especially dating shows. So, I mean, I know in like the entire run of The Real World, which had like 30 something seasons, they didn't have like one Asian man on the show, or at least East Asian man. So I was excited for Anton to get his shot, only for that to be shot down very quickly.
Yeah, I feel so bad for him that he was brought in so late. Like, it's great that they did bring in an Asian man. However, they definitely should have done so earlier on to actually give him a shot. And Anton is, like, super hot.
Yeah, I think it probably, because as we've seen, like, they were doing casting throughout the season, so maybe they just didn't discover him. I know there is a lot of recruiting on Love Island, like, the last season of Love Island UK, out of the numerous people that came in. I think they said only 6 people had applied. So maybe they just didn't find him. Maybe he didn't apply till later. But obviously, I wish that he had gotten a shot earlier. And maybe they should do a better shot at finding an Asian man to diversify the cast for season 2.
Yeah, like they did. Like compared to a lot of other reality shows, the diversity is definitely a lot definitely better. Agreed. But yeah, still always room to improve. We get a scene of Dylan saying that he thinks Emily's super hot, that she's the most his type physically that we've seen. And that's like, okay, Dylan, fine, whatever.
Yeah, this is where I don't know if it was this week or maybe even the week before. I've gotten like a little nervous about Dylan, like a little sketched out, where I feel like if Emily did show interest, because I really don't feel like she did at all, that Dylan may have strayed.
I think Dylan might just be playing the game.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
So that's always good to watch. We get a scene of Kelsey just like asking Emily, oh, like, have you ever kissed a girl when you're drunk?
You got that out way more clearly than Kelsey was able to. She's like falling all over herself as if it's like the most scandalous question she's ever asked in her life, which I don't know why it's the first question coming out of Kelsey's mouth, but I also don't know why she's so nervous to ask it.
Well, I'm guessing that Kelsey is like, oh my God, this girl's so hot. Like, I want to make out with her.
Maybe Kelsey was making the moves just like Kira.
I mean, maybe Kelsey just wanted to get drunk and kiss her. I don't know. And like,
if Kelsey and Emily got together and then Weston got sent home, that would have been the ideal scenario.
Dream. Ugh. Yeah, it's always, I always find it really surprising when like people in their 20s are like, oh no, I've never kissed a girl when I'm drunk. Like, I think everyone has, but okay. But I guess Kelsey's super nervous. All of a sudden, Weston has issues with Kelsey.
Yeah. Seemingly, I would say overnight, but it seems like over a couple minutes. Weston, yeah, like
over 5 minutes.
Yeah, not even maybe the 30 seconds that it took Emily to, you know, is over blindfold. As soon as the blindfold came off, Weston was over it. Yeah, with some of the rudest things I've ever heard. Like if someone called me, quote, like so simple, like, oh, like I would not be really thrilled with that description.
I'm sorry. Where does Weston have the right to call anybody simple? I think he's probably the most simple person there.
Yeah, I don't know. He's like, oh, well, I would really open a bunch of doors for her, which would be so great for her. It's like, okay, who do you think you are? Like, she's fine. And also, guess what? If she wants to stay home and wants to like settle down and doesn't want to go like skydiving, like that's also fine. So I don't get why like wanting to go skydiving and like snorkeling is like the deal breakers for Weston all of a sudden.
It's like, Weston, if you were so great, you wouldn't be the hidden catch of the villa. You would just be the catch of the villa.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like, for Kelsey, she didn't see this immediately, but it was like, we're beyond red flags. Like, blaring alarm bells are going off with Weston all season, pretty much. But it's like, where did this come from?
Yeah, he is made of red flags. We also get that Jared is into Kira. Alex recommends, you know, make your move. I'll help you out. And he mentions that he wanted to join the Air Force, but they denied him because of his pinup tattoo.
Yeah. Quick little story. But honestly, I don't love the tattoo, but I would get it to avoid the Air Force also.
Okay, but that sounds so fake. I've seen so many military people with much like
maybe it's
weirder
ones they're already in.
I don't know. Like my dad has a tattoo of the fucking Grim Reaper.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really understand what the military standards are,
but it was like, okay, whatever. Jared also seems to be suffering from like the weird like red eye affliction that Caro's been dealing with all summer. But it was funny to see Alex, because Alex was one of the women telling Kira like, oh, I would never ever recommend going with Eric. So as soon as like someone else is into Kira, Alex is like, let me get you help you. I need to help get her away from Eric.
Yeah, she said at the beginning of the season that she's all about girl code and she is just trying to protect her girl.
Yeah, I really like Alex. And so that's why, like, I'm conflicted. Like, I want to like Dylan. And I'm like part of the way there, but I just get sketchy vibes.
Yeah, definitely. They have a football themed beer pong party with Dares. And it's like the oversized beer pong, like from on BB Can 2. They did this competition. But not with Dares.
Yeah, I keep debating buying this personally, but it's
oh my
once
god,
again,
you have to.
I know.
I'm already on my way over.
it's a game I definitely want, but it's pouring rain once again. They decide like, all right, we're not hanging on the villa one more night. We're doing this challenge. Hopefully, they'll have that figured out for season two. But obviously, as we see, Emily gets a lot of Dares here.
Yeah, it's. It's almost like she's the new hotness.
Who knew?
So Emily says that she likes Weston and Eric, but Weston more. She makes out with Kira. Kira says Emily reminds her of her ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. So we start to see the little, like, you know, breadcrumbs with Kira and Emily that unfortunately never really get a chance to develop.
Honestly, I'm too upset to talk about it.
I know.
I have to talk about it because we're on a podcast.
Literally have to.
Like, literally, what are we supposed to do if we're not talking, right?
It's the whole storyline this week.
There's a conversation between Eric and Emily about how things didn't work out with Kira because some girls don't like guys who know exactly what they want.
That was the problem.
It's, I mean, even if that was the problem, guess what, Eric? Sometimes the girl just doesn't want what you want.
Yeah, no, it was a weird conversation. And like, even Emily is like, maybe like some people just like to take things a little bit slower. I really have not seen you be soft at all. It's just been like your hard side 24/7 since I've walked in the villa.
Yeah. And he says he could steal a motorcycle, but also cry at a golden retriever. So he's got layers.
OK, I mean, I feel like the golden retriever part is relatable, but the stealing a motorcycle seems a little bit extreme.
Yeah, I mean, I related more to the motorcycle naturally, I'm kidding. we get a Kira and Emily conversation. Emily is leaning toward Weston, but feels really bad for Kelsey because they have had their thing. And then Kira also says that she has a crush on Weston.
Yeah, kind of a blindside. This like almost shows how fickle I am because I've been watching the whole like season, really, but especially the episode. I'm like, Weston's the worst. I hate Weston. And then, of course, my favorite Kira is like, I have a crush on Weston. I'm like, maybe he's not so bad, but no we don't
stop.
Like Weston.
He is,
I know,
worse than that bad.
I know, but I just, oh, I want Kira to be happy. So I was just like, okay, like maybe, no, I can't get behind this.
You think
so,
Weston can make her happy?
No, but I just want Kira to get what she wants. So I don't care. But I mean, I always want her to be with Cashel, obviously. And she even says as much, like they've had a crush on each other, but like nothing ever happened because Cashel was there and Weston was friends with Cashel and Kira was more into Cashel. So they never explored anything, but she would be open possibly in the future, it seems.
I just care enough about Kira that I don't want her to have things that are not good for her, but it's fine. I understand. I just care more about her than you do.
Okay. I never thought this was going to last on the outside. And if I thought there was that risk, then I obviously would not be rooting for it.
So Kira asks Weston, like, do you regret not pursuing me? And he says, no, I'm in a really happy place with Kelsey.
Yeah, so happy. Definitely doesn't want to pursue anyone else.
He's in a really happy place with Kelsey because she's so simple, you know?
The most simple.
Happiness is simple.
Not to flash too far ahead, the reason why I would really want Kira and Weston to where I would be okay with it is the timeline where they win, and then spoiler alert for the finale, at least on the UK, there is a prisoner's dilemma where one person can steal the money from the other, and Kira stealing the money from Weston would be my ultimate joy.
I don't think anyone's stealing the money.
I wish.
I really don't think we're gonna get it. It's like, I love anytime there's a prisoner's dilemma, but like, the optimal move is to not do it.
No, on this show, steal the money. Like that, I guess they don't know how big it is. Like, I feel like on the, we'll discuss it more at the end, because I do think there are some scenarios, maybe one, where someone takes the money. But like on this show, like, you're never going to see this person again in some of these scenarios. So just take it, especially like the US version is not that big where they're going to have careers based on this, whereas on the UK version, they will. So who cares if America doesn't like you for a couple days? Like, steal that money.
You don't know. It could be like a big thing.
No, they're not getting careers. I'm sorry. Look at their Instagram followings.
Oh, goodness. I haven't even looked at it once. Have we had any sort of update?
I have not taken note, only because the changes are not like that significant. They're, you know, in the usual reality TV range.
Okay. Sounds good. We get a conversation with Anton and Caro. Anton says he is into Caro. She says, you know, you're actually my type, but I really wish you weren't interested in me because I want to focus on Ray.
Yeah, this is where I was like, all right, maybe there's a chance. Maybe Caro like is really into him and is avoiding it. Again, we said maybe Caro had like everyone's comments in her mind and wasn't pursuing things because she didn't want to be seen going from guy to guy. But I was, as much as I like Ray, I also like had like an instant like of Anton. So I was interested to see things where they go. But Caro and Ray kissing in bed that night really solidified things for me that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. And I feel like the storyline with Caro this entire time is like she truly has just been trying to find the person that she really clicks with. And she just didn't have that person there until Ray came in. And that's kind of adorable.
Yeah. I mean, I really like this relationship. I think that they finally have their first kiss. They were waiting for like a good moment. It's a little coincidental that it happens as soon as Caro starts, you know, seeing that she's interested in someone else, but very happy for them nonetheless. They seem to be very genuine and it's going well.
I love a cute couple that's not boring.
Yes, very into a not boring couple.
So then the next morning, Kelsey tells Alexander and Kira that Weston said that he isn't going to pursue anything because he's happy where he's at, which is like foreshadowing.
Weston said he cares very much about his character and he doesn't know where any of this is coming from. So maybe we do see that there were some things wrong.
Just a couple red flags. Emily gets dates. First goes on a date with Eric and then one with Weston. She went on a boat date with Eric. He comes back blushing. He's excited about her. And then a paddleboarding date with Weston, and Emily tells Weston that she connected to him the most. They have similar lifestyles. They kiss or whatever. And after the date, Weston tells Kelsey that he kissed Emily.
Yeah. So after these dates, I was not really sure where she was going to go. I probably should have taken the hint that Eric's date was like a solid 1 minute, maybe like one line from this was shown. And then Weston's went like a little deeper, but I was like, oh, I really don't know where she's going to go. And so obviously it seems like she and Weston have connected better, unfortunately, at Kelsey's expense.
Yeah, and it's just the fact that he like goes straight to Kelsey and is like, yeah, we guessed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's better that he's honest with her and like straight up, like, I do think the move, especially like it's going to be on TV, the like word spreads fast in the villa, like Emily's going to tell the other women. So I do think that like honesty is like the best policy here, like, and always probably, but you know, when possible. But I think that it probably like wasn't handled that well, like, especially obviously as we saw Kelsey was like, he's not gonna stray, and I was like, oh
yeah, it's just like Weston obviously knew that he was having doubts about Kelsey, but when he was confronted about that before this date, he made it clear that he didn't have doubts and that he wanted to be with her, and so that's where the honesty should have come in to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not really fair for the other conversation to be a total blindside.
Mm-hmm. What I did really like is Emily going up to Kelsey after the date being like, I totally would have told you that I was going to ask out Weston if I knew. I just really did not know I would get a second date. So, and Kelsey seems like fine, but obviously a little worried.
Yeah. And it's also like, if you didn't think you were going to get a second date, you would have asked Weston out on the first one. Like, shut up, Emily.
I mean, yeah, it definitely says like, who do you want to bring on your first date? So maybe she thinks it's like the other established couples where it's like, oh, you're going on your first date, implying that there'll be more in the future. But I feel like she probably knew something was coming.
That's a loose interpretation of the text message. Okay, oh, my goodness.
I'm giving Emily the benefit of the doubt. I do like her, but we'll see what happens.
Yes. So Jared gets a date with Kira. They go paddleboarding. Anton gets a date with Caro, tells Anton that she can't imagine doing the long distance across the country with Ray.
It's funny because the one date that like amounts to something out of these two with Jared and Kira, we get to see 0.2 seconds, and then Anton and Caro, which really amounts to nothing, we get like, oh, will she actually end up going for Anton? Because the long distance thing, like cross country, like is a big obstacle.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. You have to be like super committed to make long distance work.
Mm-hmm. I could see any one of these contestants, like Carol lives in LA, so I could see really any one of these contestants moving to LA after the season. It's just a typical reality TV move, but Ray would be towards the bottom of that list.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We get some hot goss in the villa, and Kira tells the girls and the OG guys about how close she feels to Weston. And of course, this spreads.
Yeah, I don't know that she maybe should have told the guys. I feel like it's always a thing where the women are loyal to the women and the men are loyal to the men, which is fine, but maybe keep that in mind, even like in scenarios where like Kira is particularly close to, let's say we've seen she's close to Weston as a friend. Like, I feel like Weston would have told any of the guys anything that they share. So maybe a little bit of loose lips here.
Yeah, so Dylan tells Weston. Weston's like, I don't know what to do, which has he ever known what to do? And then Allison and Elizabeth are like basically yelling at Kira that like, you have to tell Weston about this. This is what you came here for. Like, you have to take a chance or whatever. And I'm just like, why? Just why?
Yeah, it's weird because especially when Alex and Elizabeth are two of the more vocal ones saying like that they don't trust Weston about relationships later, and they are advising Emily to stay away from him. Maybe they just want to get Kira away from Eric that badly. But in practice, I do agree that you came here for one reason. You're towards the end of the experience. Like, put yourself out there.
Shoot your shot, 2019. We get a Weston and Kelsey conversation where he says, you know, we've had deep conversations. I've only had goofy conversations with Emily. Basically just really being confusing. She says that she's been giving him space to let him figure it out. And he says that it comes down to what Emily wants. She jumps on. Kelsey, yes, like, I'm the second option. And he's like, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a good pickup by her. Like, I was really glad when that happened, where he was like, well, really, I can't give you a decision because like if Em basically, you know, in so many words says like, if Emily doesn't want me, obviously I can't go with her. It's like, oh, so you're only waiting to decide if she's interested in you, in which case, if she's not, then you'll come back to me. So I'm interested for the scenario where Emily was not interested in Weston. Ultimately, like, how would Kelsey have handled that? Would she have continued to be like as all in? But luckily, I guess for Kelsey, we don't have to see that play out.
Absolutely. Then we get a really interesting conversation between Kira and Emily talking about sexual identity. Emily says that she has hooked up with girls before, has had sex with girls, but has never had feelings for a girl. So she doesn't really know if she would identify as bi. Kira says that none of the other girls in the villa have been her type, but Emily very much is. And Emily says that she'd be willing to try it. And part of this conversation that I thought was super interesting is Emily, like, mentions that she came in open to anything, but that just like the structure of Love Island and the villa was so like heteronormative that she didn't even know if it was okay to be interested in a girl in the villa. And I thought that was a very, very interesting choice for them to air it, but I'm really glad that they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of interesting talks that Kira and Emily end up having. Like they talk about like social issues at one point, albeit very briefly. And so I'm glad it was aired. I think that it's interesting because Emily says like, oh, I don't know if I am open to like, I think I'm open to exploring it. Like, but I don't know exactly how far I would progress. But like, I've been into you. So I don't blame Kira later for ultimately saying like, it's hard for her to like put herself like very out there and put all her eggs in that basket when very easily Emily or anyone else could say like, you know what, I tried it and like, I'm not into it. And so I understand where really both of them are coming from here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kara makes a comment about wishing they had pursued it earlier because there's so little time, which I do think is like the root of the problem as well, because there's not a lot of time to really talk it out. So we've got this like very interesting conundrum going into the recoupling, because Emily doesn't know if she should choose Eric Weston or Kira. Kira doesn't know if she should pick Jared, Eric, or Weston. And then Weston is interested in Emily, Kelsey, and like possibly Kira. It's just very confusing.
Yeah. And they all act like, okay, there are less women than there are men. And so obviously the women will be picking. But when they get the text, like finding out that the women are picking, they're all like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, Weston, you were never going to have this choice. But yeah. I am very interested to see if it was in Weston's hands, where he would have gone. Did the producers know that he was more interested in Emily, and that's why ultimately they placed Emily before Kelsey in the picking order? Or was it for drama? It being the last recoupling, it definitely is very impactful in which order they're choosing.
Well, and I feel like they put Emily ahead of Kira because they wanted the option of Emily choosing Kira.
Yes. And that, I do think that they told her to phrase certain things, which we'll get to.
And I think that that's what they maybe thought that she was really going to choose Kira. And that's why they put her before Kelsey.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they don't know who's going to pick who, at least to a pretty safe degree. I know on shows like Are You the One, they have to tell the producers who like their top three are in order, so that like if their top choice gets picked, who they'll pick second and yada yada. So I have to imagine they know, but maybe to leave the intrigue there, I'm very curious who Weston would have picked here.
Yeah, I don't care about Weston. So we get Caro picking Ray, Elizabeth picking Zach, Isada picking Yeamon, Alexander picks Dylan, and then Emily picks Weston.
Mm-hmm. And here's where noticeably the phrasing where like everyone's like, the guy I'm going to couple up with. But Emily noticeably says, I want to couple up with this person rather than this guy. I think leaving it open to maybe she's going to pick Kira, but ultimately, unfortunately, she goes with Weston.
Yeah. And so Kelsey is great. And she says, you know what? I came here to find love. I did not find that. I don't have a connection. I don't want to lead anybody on. So I'm going to leave the island.
Yeah. So they probably knew this was the last recoupling. I should have known based on the schedule. But usually I feel like they'll be like, this is the last recoupling. This is who, you know, and I don't feel like they did say that. So I was very much like, Kelsey, just pick Anton, like give him a chance to stay, and then you can leave in 5 minutes and then he'll explore something else. But obviously, being that it's the last recoupling, there's not really an option where Anton is going to get to know anyone else. So I understand why she just, you know, chooses to leave on her own.
Yeah. And so that's a big bomb that gets dropped, and it takes everyone a little bit of time to compose themselves. And then we get the last pick of Kira picking Jared, which just didn't really feel like anything, because we had already had the bomb of Kelsey leaving.
Yeah, I mean, you lose Eric, who definitely was a big character for his time in the villa, but I don't think anyone was like too distraught about it.
Yeah, it was clear that he wasn't really going to mesh that well with anybody, so it's fine for him to leave at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Eric and Anton are both eliminated. And the hideaway is opened after the recoupling, and Caro is so excited.
Yeah, Caro, definitely one of the more animated cast members, is excited. She campaigns for herself right away, for her and Ray to get a night in the hideaway, and very happy that the other Islanders agreed.
Well, because Caro, like, campaigning for herself is her being like, us, pick us, pick us, please, come on, pick us.
Yeah, she wasn't having secret talks going around to each individual person or anything.
So it was very much she really wanted it. You know, Dylan and Alexander have already had it. Zach and Elizabeth have already had it. So it was time for them to go. And then there's this weird conversation between the girls where they're like kind of weirdly almost standing over Caro. And they're like, are you going to join the Do Bits Society?
Yes, which is funny because correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't really feel like it was explained on the show. It's something that definitely comes up a lot more on the UK version. I don't know if it is a UK slang term in general, or if it's just something specific to the show. And someone asked me basically, and I don't have the name in front of me, like basically what is doing bits? And eloquently will say anything past first base, but before the home run.
Ah!
All right.
Who asked you that?
Some Twitters.
Guys, it's called Urban Dictionary. You just type in what you're looking for.
Okay.
And you find out the information. You don't have to slide into Scally's DMs. All wow. Right,
there was no DMs exchanged. Let's comment on
that. And then so they go to the hideaway. And Caro, like, pushes down on the bed being like, oh, this bed's sturdy.
Yeah. You see Ray getting nervous and Caro's just like, all right, I'm ready. Let's go. So it was definitely like a fun, like, opposing points and just like one more reason why I really like them both.
Well, and it just like, it was funny to me how long it took for them to actually go for the champagne, too. Like, I feel like everyone else has just like immediately goes for the champagne. They have a glass. They do a little toast. They drink it together and then they kind of get into it. Whereas they like, they're like getting ready. They put on their robes. I think Caro brushed her teeth before having the champagne, which I would not recommend.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're so adorable.
Yeah, maybe she didn't see the champagne and thought brush the teeth for other reasons, but it was good. Okay, calm down over there. But you sound like Caro. But Caro says that the next day she's talking with the women and they're all like, what happened? What happened? What are you doing? And she's like, I respect Ray. I respect our privacy so much. But like, come on, you all know what happened.
It was beautiful. Okay.
All right. Well, that's how she describes it. So that's good.
I mean, that's always a good feeling to have after doing bits.
Yeah. Maybe more than bits.
Maybe more than bits. I don't know. They deserve their privacy, okay? We're going to be respectful in this time for them.
Okay. Good to know.
So Weston tells the boys that he was worried he was going to go home, which is like, you literally had three women interested in you, so shut up.
Yeah, this was like the fakest thing. Oh, I thought that maybe, like, no, someone was going to choose you. Like, you were the least at-risk person there.
Like,
except for maybe Zach.
Yeah. Literally just shut up, Weston. And so Zach, Elizabeth, and Kira are talking about Weston and Emily and how they went from a 0 to 100. This is really emphasized by the fact that Weston and Emily showered together fully naked. That was a big point of contention. Are they naked or are they not naked?
Yeah, which is weird because they like flash to them. And like when you see them in, Emily still has like a full bikini on. And then they're like, oh, my God, they're naked. So it's like, did they just not include like a shot where that was evident, which I feel like they would have. So maybe the Islanders were just exaggerating this. But like Weston said, like he hates moving fast, but he also loves it.
He loves moving fast. Mm-hmm. And then what's more weird than any of this is that they literally go to like peek into the shower to see if they're naked. I don't know about you, but if I see two people showering together, You know, I don't need any more information. It's not my business.
Yeah. I mean, they said they share one bathroom. So I guess really they've all become really close. I mean, you've seen scenes where, like, I think it was Cashel's just like has the shower door open talking to Yaemin as he's showering. So I think that it's like definitely a different type of situation.
But that's a little bit different than when you're showering with someone.
Yes, it is very different. I'm just commenting that obviously the boundaries are very different on these shows. On there's how many other shows where it's like two people are hooking up in the house and every single cast member is like running up to the window, peeking in and like opening the door and like crawling like commando style or whatever, like to look like it's a thing, like something's interesting. They don't have TV. They need entertainment.
And then I was about to make a really horrible joke.
No.
Anyways,
respect their privacy.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing here. So then there's the conversation. It's Zach, Elizabeth and Kira. And they're talking about the Weston situation and how weird it is. Kira says that there was something unspoken between them. But Weston should have to be the one to step up. And I would have to ask, was this unspoken?
Yeah, it definitely.
We literally saw them talk about it on Monday.
Saw it yesterday. I mean, I guess she's saying that he should have stepped up earlier in the season. Kira definitely, you know, it's just as much on her. She could have said anything if she felt something. But ultimately, glad it did not develop.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really weird because at this point, Elizabeth kind of makes it a huge part of her identity how upset with this whole Weston situation she is.
We finally are seeing Elizabeth on the show. Zach, she's no longer under Zach's thumb or vice versa. And I mean, honestly, like I like Elizabeth more throughout this week, whereas my feelings on Zach really haven't changed.
It was just weird to me how much she was going in about the situation. It felt different from the Elizabeth we've seen all through the season.
That's fair. I feel like she's definitely like she's known these people for longer. Maybe she like feels more comfortable. But it, like you involve yourself in your friends, you know, relationships, not to maybe this degree, but they're around each other 24/7. Like there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, you're right. So we get a game. It's called Dunk in Love. So there's two dunking tanks. There's each half of the couple will sit in one. They each are asked a question about the other. If they get it right, nothing happens. If they get it wrong, the person that they don't know that well gets dunked. Nobody really gets questions right. Jared gets a question right.
Yeah. My thought on this and also on Anton and Jared's dates is that there's probably a lot more that we didn't see. Like they probably each got a second date as well as Emily. And like there were probably a lot more questions than this, but at least how it's portrayed, literally only Jared gets a question right. So like maybe every single other person got like multiple questions wrong.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
We find out that Emily's weirdest job is that she was a dominatrix, but not in a sexual way.
Just telling someone what to do, how to do it, which, I mean, hey, like she said, you got to make your money somehow.
Yeah, girl has got to eat. I have nothing but respect for this. This is very much along the lines of a plot line in Euphoria, except for that one does have sexual parts.
Okay, no spoilers.
But hey, it could be anyone, okay? Nobody knows. We find out that the craziest place Elizabeth has had sex was in the locker room at a nice gym. And Zach has a confessional after with her where he's like, yeah, I only didn't answer it right because I'm not a fan of that story. Shut up, Zach. She didn't know you at the time. You weren't together. It's none of your business.
Yeah, this is like one of the multiple times where I find Zach to be like controlling where he's like earlier in the season, he's like, I didn't know you were that outgoing. Like, stop judging her. Calm down. Like, Zach's allowed to, I don't know, maybe Zach doesn't like feel like he should be involved in those stuff. And so like she shouldn't either. But like, or maybe he just thinks that like he should be allowed to, I don't know. It's weird. There's obviously like gender implications on it. I don't love it. Maybe why I'm down on Zach this week overall.
It's like, hey, Zach, how about be excited that you're in a relationship with a cool, fun girl who probably would want to do cool, fun things with you?
Yeah, maybe Zach's just not as cool and fun as Elizabeth.
You're right. That's probably the case.
Mm-hmm.
Weston asks Emily about when she sees herself settling down, which is so weird because it seems like literally 2 days ago he was upset because he was with someone who wanted to settle down.
Yeah. Oh, now Weston's the boring one in the relationship. I mean, unless I'm wrong, I believe Emily's 21 years old, and it's not like, and this is my, you know, maybe New York East Coast bias, but she's 21. She's from New York. I don't think she's looking to settle down anytime soon. Weston, well, only 25. I think he has said like more of his friends have settled down already. I don't see this one working out very well.
Yeah, I'm not thinking a great match.
No. Do you see Weston like flying to upstate New York to visit Emily at college?
I literally can't see Weston going to New York at all.
I mean, upstate New York is very different, but like she goes to a very, very good, which they have like a little scene of Emily like being bad at math. But like she goes to probably, if not the top, the second best, either one first or second best New York State College. Like she's some will say like the prime of her life. She's having fun. I don't see Weston fitting in that scenario.
She's in the prime of her life. She's peaked. It's all downhill from here.
Relatable. So relatable.
Okay. we get a date with Alexandra and Dylan. And Dylan says he is not going to turn his head.
Yeah. And when new guys come in, he talks her down so that they don't go for her. But didn't his head kind of get turned a little bit when Emily came in?
I mean, it seems like it maybe did.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of it was like the other guys being like, oh, Dylan, like she's clearly like the most your type. And he agrees, whatever. I don't know how much of it is. We've just seen so little of Dylan and Alex like in the past, whereas I feel like they're kind of a fun couple. So I would have expected them to get more screen time. But maybe he's not as into her. And that's why we're not seeing it.
Yeah, I really think that he's playing the game. He's not like in love, I guess.
Yeah. I'm not seeing this one lasting. I really like Alex, especially. I like Dylan in terms of what we've seen, but not to overuse the word vibes, but like, I just don't get the completely genuine vibe from him.
I can't believe that you would use the word vibe in such a way.
Sorry.
It's not okay, but whatever. So we get more of the Kira Emily drama. They talk about how it's awkward with Weston and Emily. But Kira says she'll support Weston and Emily if they're happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We get like a scene where Weston and Kira are finally talking and Emily just like plops down and joins them on the daybed, where I don't feel like this should have been so, so awkward. But Kira's like, I'm done. Like, I need to go get water. Sorry, dehydrated. So literally like doesn't even walk inside, just walks straight to Alex and Caro. And just like, oh, that was weird. Like, I'm not hanging out with them.
Yeah, it's also the situation where it's like, Kira has expressed so much more of this, not to either Weston or Emily. So I feel like she has made it into a much bigger thing than it is as well.
That is fair. I mean, was it Alex who was like, maybe they're trying to draw you into a threesome, which the show could use the excitement.
I mean, would not be opposed to a throuple on Love Island, but would be opposed to Weston getting to be a part of it.
That's fair. I mean, Are You the One is out here having fivesomes. Like, really, Love Island needs to catch up.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. An endorsement for Are You the One. Go watch.
Yikes. Okay. So then there's also an Emily Kira conversation about how things could have been different for them if they had had an honest chat on the first day, but Emily went for Weston and now it's too late. And yeah, it's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Emily and Weston seem to have gone to like the extreme within 6 hours. Like, there's no reason why. Yeah, I get that we're really nearing the end of the season, but it's not as if they couldn't have explored it for later. I guess really, I don't think Kira sees the future there and probably is saying like, yeah, I feel like if it was really, really that strong, it's like, yeah, I know it's late, but like, screw it. Whereas it's like, okay, this might have been something and we really don't have time.
Please, Love Island, give us one more recoupling. We can just send Weston and Jared home. It's fine. No one would care. It would be great.
No one would even notice Jared left.
Yeah. Jared who?
Yeah, exactly.
So then we're back to the same old nonsense for Thursday. Kira likes Emily. Weston likes Emily and maybe likes Kira. Emily likes Weston and maybe likes Kira. Jared likes Kira. But Kira avoids him as much as possible.
Yeah, you know, standard healthy relationship.
Nothing like it. It's funny because it's kind of described as like she stays as far away from him in bed as possible, which like is totally valid. Not everyone likes to cuddle, but poor Jared.
I think At one point, like much, much later, Jared even is like, oh, yeah, like they're talking about how I'll save it for later. But it's like, oh, like I'd rather be here than be home. Like, OK, like what a strong endorsement of the relationship.
Yeah. Wow. Truly. So the boys are going to a local market to buy produce to make dinner while the girls have a spa day back at the villa. And the girls are nervous about it, but Elizabeth says Zach will know what to do since he works in a grocery store, which, like, I wouldn't be so reassured that my boyfriend works in a grocery store.
The direct translation of working with food to cooking with food, obviously, one-to-one.
Well, and then when they're in the market and they're throwing the fruit around and everything, I was like, this is not grocery store etiquette.
No, definitely. Zach is going to be reprimanded when he gets home. I hope for his job security that he's okay. But I mean, another thing they've done in the UK version, and it's a quick little fun segment. I think it's usually better when they send out a couple to go shopping and then just like dumb and they have to cook. There's like dumb little arguments that can happen occasionally. But I'm happy to see, you know, more girl time at the villa.
Yeah, that's nice, but I would have liked to see a couple go. However, with the drama that comes from the spa day, I'm glad that they did it this way.
Yes.
So they have the conversation and Weston comes up and Kira tells Emily about her and Weston's like secret agreement or whatever that they've had. And the other girls tell Emily, you know, like we wouldn't really set our friends up with Weston. Like he says the same things to every girl. Whenever a new girl comes in, he's super interested. And then when another new girl comes in, his head turns. He bails quickly. And Emily's like, I feel so stupid. Like, why didn't anyone tell me this sooner?
Yeah, Emily, like immediately. And again, like I said, the women definitely have like a strong connection, as if do the men. And so Emily like really jumps onto this and definitely confronts Weston, as she should when he comes back.
I loved it.
Yeah, very fun to see Weston finally, you know, be confronted with the same stuff that he's been criticizing others for.
Yeah, like especially because Weston has been the one to be so judgmental of Caro in particular.
Mm-hmm.
To see that he is getting called out was great. And Emily is just amazing.
Yeah, big fan. Wish, you know, I like these new Islanders. I definitely think Emily probably has made the biggest impact out of any of the new Islanders, even from the beginning. Only really Eric, I think, has come close. But I wish these new Islanders came in a little earlier, even.
Yeah, it's the timing of the season and the pacing was just like a little bit off. I think is the only problem I would really have with it. But I'm glad that we did get these last new Islanders to get Emily in, because this really did create an electric week of TV. Oh, I also forgot to mention at the end of the last episode, there was a public vote for your favorite couple. But I'm assuming we both voted for Ray and Caro.
I did not vote for Ray and Caro.
Who did you vote for?
They are my favorite couple, and one half of this other couple bores me to tears. I voted for Kira and Jared because I figured Ray and Caro, okay, they're not going to be literal last place, whereas I feel like given the result, Kira and Jared were probably 6 out of 7 there, and they needed the vote more.
You need to stop trying to game Love Island. Just no, vote for who you
need,
like.
No, it's a game. Every show is a game. I need Kira here longer.
You are a genuinely crazy person.
I'm fine.
I don't know about that. So one thing I liked a lot that Emily said is like, she said, you know what? You've been making all the women make the decisions for you so that you come across looking like a nice guy.
Yes. Perfect.
Yes, queen. And he's like, no, that's not it. I'm obsessed with you, Emily.
Like,
ew, don't tell someone you're obsessed with them. That's gross.
Especially after a day and a half.
You're right. Yeah, especially after a day and a half. Just like, I just can't imagine that like, that's what he thinks of. Like, why not say something like, no, Emily, like, I thought I liked those other girls, but I really like you. Something along those lines would, is still gross, but be slightly less gross. And he is so mad that the others have thrown him under the bus as he perceives it.
Yeah, my favorite part is he's like, yeah, sure, I was a player at one point, but so is every guy in here. Like, they've all been. She's like, yeah, well, they're showing a different side. You haven't. So definitely standing Emily at this moment.
Yes, queen. I'm obsessed with her.
Oh, all right. It's been, kidding. You know, could 5 days of TV. Let's calm it down.
Could never. It takes a little bit more for me to be obsessed with a reality TV character. Caro mentions that this has all been patterns, and he's only saying he's committed because it's at the end and this is the last coupling. Elizabeth is still like super annoyed about this, and she's like, he doesn't know what he wants. And then Weston goes back to the boys and it's like, Caro does the same thing, but I couldn't say that because the girls would have attacked him.
Oh, poor
Weston.
Shut up,
Weston.
Oh, he can't deal with the like vicious attacks of the women. But yeah, it was you had to bring Caro back up. It's very, very annoying. Whereas again, I really feel like Caro did not express like strong feelings for any single person until Ray.
And no, at like, no but, point did she like say she liked someone when she did not like them.
Mm-hmm. Like she would say like, oh, like we're feeling vibes. Like it's cool. We're talking like I'm interested. But it was never like I could go home to your family and I would marry you tomorrow. Like, OK, Weston, calm down, you psychopath.
I need you to never use that Weston tone of voice again. I'm horrified. That was so scary.
Yeah, no, we've had to listen to it all week, so I'm not happy about it either.
Yeah, but no one else had to listen to it just directly into their headphones, Scally. That was okay, an attack.
Well, they're going to have to, so.
I can't believe you just did that to everyone. You're pure evil. So then they do the game Polls Apart, which is there have been polls in the app throughout the entire season. I haven't really been bringing them up because I don't vote in them because it's just a lot of work and I have a full-time job, okay?
Yeah. I mean, here the Zach and Elizabeth stands came out in full force for this one.
Yeah, so they get voted as the most intelligent couple, the hottest couple.
Oh, yeah. And shockingly, only the third most boring.
Who are these Zach and Elizabeth stands?
I don't understand really who they are. I mean, even like there was a past like the tweet that was pulled that was like, oh my God, I'm losing IQ points from watching Dylan and Alex. Yet they get voted the second most intelligent couple. So I think these were really just a popularity contest at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't think people were really reading them. They're just looking at the people. Yamin and Isada get the most boring. Weston and Emily get the most likely to cheat and the most likely to backstab another couple. So Weston's not happy because the results have shown that he is a piece of shit. Ooh. And he turns into a furious crybaby loser. He's like, I'm going home. I can't believe my character's been attacked like this.
Oh, poor Weston. But the thing that's funny is I feel like Weston really started getting a more negative edit this episode. And while he had been shown to be very indecisive and like not there for Kelsey, I don't feel like he was necessarily a villain until now. And it was more so potentially because of how I think that Emily really exploring her options and Weston and combined with Weston moving on from woman to woman has really put them in these categories.
When I also think like over the course of the season, Weston has been displaying like this horrible behavior, but no one has really called him on it because everyone's just like, oh, Weston's such a catch. Weston's great. And Emily's the first person to actually come in and be like, no, like this is not acceptable behavior. Like you cannot treat people like this.
Yes.
And so I think that is a big part of it happening now. Weston's like, my character is something I don't mess with. I feel backstabbed. He's so upset. He talks about how he's been betrayed, and he says at the end of the day like 75 times.
Our favorite phrase on reality television. I my least favorite part is then we get like Zach and Yamin going up to like the women, specifically Elizabeth and Kira, being like, you have to apologize to him, like you ruined their connection.
First of all, excuse me. Take a seat, Zach and Yamin.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Another part where like I wasn't a fan of these two in particular being like telling them what they have to do and like just have a conversation at the most, like go to them and being like, hey, like he's really upset. Like, what did you guys say? Blah, blah. But like, it was like, no, like you have to go apologize, like scolding them almost.
Yeah. And then both of them, I was really proud of them because they're like, we never called him a bad guy. We just pointed out things that he legitimately has done. So it turns out he is a bad guy. Who knew?
Oh, who did know? Turns out the viewers and all those votes.
Turns out everybody except for the Islanders knew. Yamin mentions there are other women who have done a lot. What's a lot, Yamin?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like
what Yaman, have you done?
Yeah. Yaman has jumped from person to person. So maybe he doesn't want to start throwing stones.
Like, for crying out loud.
Which, again, in the grand scheme, whether, and I know that like Weston is like saying too much to each of these women and he's going about it the wrong way. But like the general like move of like exploring options with different people is how you should be going like about it. And I don't think Yaman has handled it. Yes, I don't think Yaman has handled it like as like well, but also definitely not as bad as Weston. And I feel like for some reason, I mean, we know why, Caro gets like unfairly judged, whereas they who have handled it much worse are seemingly innocent in all of this.
Yeah, Yaman just gets lucky because his situation has in general been when he does get, you know, feelings for another person, the other person goes home right away. So like he started feeling things for Kristen. He sent Alana home immediately. Mm-hmm. Kristen got sent home from a public vote, and then Isada came in. So it hasn't been as many of like the same people all in one place. And that's, I would say, the only reason why Yaman hasn't gotten a very similar edit to what Weston got this week. And I love, Jared starts talking and Alex goes, who is this guy?
Another one of my favorite Alex moments where it's like she says exactly what the audience is thinking. Like, Jared is irrelevant. Why is he talking in this? And especially like, why is he defending someone that he knows for like a day? Just like, stay out of it. And
shouldn't he be more on Emily's side because they came in together on jet skis?
Again, the guys defend the guys, the women defend the women. And it's not my favorite thing in the world. But like, Jared, you don't know these people. Just stay out of it.
Yeah, it's gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Alex ending the conversation by being like, no, he literally waited until Kelsey was packing her bags to like talk to her at all. And it's like, they have nothing to say to that.
Awkward. So then Weston has a conversation with Emily, who persuades him to stay. She's like, who cares what other people say? You know why you're here. If you're here for the right reasons, then you're here for the right reasons. And like, let's pursue this. Like, why are you letting other people make decisions for you? And I'm just like, Emily, like, I was standing you so hard, but I guess she needed him to stay so she could stay.
Yes, she would have immediately gone home, I'm assuming. I like when he's like, what am I doing here if they think these things about me? Like, why would I stay if they think I'm here for the wrong reason? She's like, are you here for them? Like, I didn't understand. Sorry. So I like that she just like will blatantly call him out on everything that she hears.
I truly do like her a lot.
Yeah, big fan.
So then Ariel comes in and says that America has been voting and the couple with the least votes is going to go home. So it is not going to be in the Islanders' hands this time. So the safe couples in no particular order are Caro and Ray, Elizabeth and Zach, Alexandra and Dylan, and Kira and Jared, leaving Isada and Yaman and Emily and Weston in danger. And then they left us with a cliffhanger at the end of the episode, like, you'll find out tomorrow. And I was a little bit upset with that.
I hated this. I think they probably thought they didn't have like enough of a draw with the baby episode, which I find to be a fun episode, but I can understand why people may not think that it is enough of a reason to stay home on a Friday night and watching television. But I did not love how they did this. And I also don't think that Emily and Weston were in the bottom two.
You don't?
No, I think it was Kira and I mean, I don't know. I don't. They always say like in no particular order. So I don't think they're going to telegraph who the actual bottom two are. And unfortunately for Kira, I just think Jared's gotten no screen time. I don't think Kira has as big of a fan base as I would like. And I think Weston's been here since the beginning. Emily's had tons and tons of screen time this week. Like, they have some fans, unfortunately.
Truly can't imagine being a fan of Weston, but okay.
I know, but I mean, even if like people like Emily and like don't hate Weston, like they'll vote for them. So I think that Kira and Jared probably not going to be winning this season.
Yeah, I don't think so. And so then we get Yaman and Isada are eliminated, which I think was pretty well telegraphed by them being the most boring couple in the polls game the episode mm-hmm. prior. Ariel is so invested in them. It's so cute.
I love this. She's like about to cry. Like all the other Islanders are like about to cry. He's like, no one cry, no one cry. And Ariel's like, the next person eliminated, like trying not to cry. It was like, I love how invested she is.
And I also love, like, after the elimination, Yamin literally is like, guys, no, I'm not trying to cry today. Like, stop.
Yeah. He's telling, I mean, you have Elizabeth and Weston both crying, and Yamin's like, guys, like, don't make me cry. Meanwhile, like, there are streams of tears down his face already. Like, it's fine. Just, it, like, I am fine with him also, like, just talking through it and playing it down, like, whatever he feels like he's got to do. But it was funny.
It was really funny. It was a relatable moment, I think.
Yeah. And to highlight, I think that the, as we've been highlighting, I think the announcer has gotten better and better all season. And this was probably my favorite episode for him, including him opening up with the episode contains love, lust, and careless people trying to be responsible, which I found very, very relatable.
I mean, do you try to be responsible?
I mean, once in a while.
Seems fake.
Okay.
So when they leave, Aisata, like, struts out of the villa. She's so beautiful. And Yamin has promised to go on a week-long vacation with Aisata.
Okay, so how long till Yamin texts Kristen?
He already has.
Oh, no. I guess you can ask him when you speak to him.
Yeah, that'll go well.
Yeah, maybe don't. Maybe don't ask. But you can, I feel like you could get a little bit of an answer of, like, what wasn't there with Alana. You know, see how it goes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we'll have to get some answers for my girl, Alana. So Kara and Ryan, Alex and Dylan talk about how happy they are. Kara and Jared are, like, arguing over who snores and who steals the blankets. And they're like, well, I'd rather be with you than go home. And it's like, a glowing endorsement.
This is what I was talking about, where it's like, it's this really funny scene where they have, like, romantic music and Kara and Ray are like, oh my God, I'm so happy. Like, you're the best. Oh my God. We spent, like, a beautiful time together, and Alex and Dylan are getting closer, and Dylan is pretending at least to be really into this. And then you get Kira like, ugh, you steal the covers all the time. And Jared's like, oh, you snore. You think you're fun to share the bed with? And then Jared says, like, the most romantic thing. Like, well, I mean, I guess I'd rather be here with you than to go home. Like, oh, what a nice thing to say.
Yeah, I bet that felt really, really, really good.
At least they're mutually not into this.
Yeah, that's true. It could be worse if one of them was super into it. Elizabeth confronts Weston that she's really upset about how today played out. And Weston kind of backpedals by saying, like, I'm okay if you guys feel this way about me, but I'm so upset that you didn't come to me to express them rather than Emily. And to me, it's like, no, you're just bothered that you got caught and you didn't get a chance to backpedal.
Yeah. See, I actually, here was where I was like, oh, for the, you know, millisecond, I was like, well, this is the right thing to say. Like, yes, it is completely valid for him to be upset because they've been friends for so long to say, like, I'm just upset that you didn't come to me when you were feeling these things and waited till I left the villa to express them to someone close to me. And it feels like manipulative. Whereas, like, I do agree, like, that probably is part of it, but I also don't think Weston is okay with the opinions at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I think that he recognizes that he needs to say that because he's probably had to, you know, talk his way out of things in the past.
Yeah. And maybe the producers might have asked him about something like that in a confessional.
Yeah, there could have been a little bit of that for sure. We get a nighttime shot of all the couples fooling around in bed. So that's what we're here for.
Yeah, there's that, you know, the extra stuff that Rob was looking for in the beginning of the season. Why is there nothing exciting going on? But I think that having all the couples sharing one big room isn't stopping anybody anymore.
Yeah, no, at this point, they're like, whatever, all the beds are here.
Yeah, no one needs privacy anymore.
Privacy is dead in 2019. So then now it's baby day, which is one of my personal favorite parts of the UK version. So I'm really excited that they brought it over.
Yes, I love the couples that, like, take this really seriously. The people that just, like, don't, like, play along. You're on a show. Like, this is a once in a lifetime thing. Like, just go along with it. It's fine.
See, I equally love both.
No, I, like, don't. Philosophies, I really don't. Of
it. Because it's like, on the one hand, yeah, it's a show commit. My personal favorite, I think, is the couples where one of them's taking it really seriously and the other one's not.
Okay, that's fair. That I do, I'm okay with, but I still feel like I get annoyed with that one person when they're like, oh, this is stupid, and just, like, blatantly, like, you know, carrying it around by the foot or something. Like, that's obnoxious. Like, we get it. Like, you're too cool.
Yeah, but then at the same time, Isn't that what Netta did and BB can't do when they had to do the babies? But this
very
is really a
different scenario.
This had big parallels to BB can't do this week. So,
okay. I think this is a very different scenario. They're coming on this show where it is all about relationships, whereas Netta's doing a random task on a strategy related show. But nevertheless, I again love the announcer being like, okay, there's babies crying. And people are like, what is that? And the announcer is like, just a hint, it's not Caro.
I that was nice backpedaling. Yeah. So Kira asks about the baby. Oh, do I pull it out? And the announcer says not pulling it out is how you get the baby. And like, yeah, fair enough. when you do pulling out properly, it is 96% effective. So,
okay, well, let's not advocate for just pulling out. But
I mean, just as birth control, it's the same effectiveness as condoms. If you use it 100% properly, which nobody does. So use a condom, okay. wrap it.
Yeah, let's not get into that full talk. You're going to be causing pregnancies. Calm down over there.
No, I absolutely am not. Use a condom, everybody.
Okay, good. And so, again, the announcer is like on fire, just at least in this little part. I like, what do they have to do? They have to take care of the fake babies. They're rewarded for a happy baby and penalized for poor parenting. How they are penalized, I don't really feel like we got to see that.
I don't think anybody was penalized. Zach has the glowing moment of, damn it, I got a girl. Shut up, yeah. Zach.
Again, not loving it. He's like, where's my mother? I mean, the baby's mother. So that was funny, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. Kira mentions that she doesn't want her baby in pink or blue. She wants her baby to be gender neutral. Love that.
Yeah, big fan of Kira. Again, why she's my favorite, just exemplifying it day after day.
And then Carol's so excited about the whole challenge and the baby. It was really cute. Her and Ray in the confessional with their little baby Quest, right?
I think it was Quest. That's correct. Ray says that he saw the baby and just knew immediately what the baby's name was.
It's so cute. And I really like that they didn't just have little white babies.
Yes, definitely. I think that was, I don't even remember if that was a thing on the early seasons, but I liked that we had a wide variety of baby. I don't even know how to say, but they had like multiple skin colors for the babies, which was great. And I love to see that at least, you know, like I said, I like it when couples take this seriously.
Yeah, and Karen Ray definitely did. Alex is upset because she wanted a girl. Relatable content. Kara gets mad at Ray. She keeps being like, no, you're being too rough. You're being too rough with the baby. Like, stop. You can't do that. And it's very adorable.
Yeah.
And then Dylan is like super dad.
I was impressed. I mean, as we see, like, Alex is nowhere to be seen. And Dylan was really, really excited. Starts getting a little bit tired. But I think throughout the day, like, one of the better dads here.
Yeah, he's Mr. Mom. And then we get a conversation of Kira and Jared talking about the future, if they would want kids, that kind of thing, which is kind of the whole point of this challenge, is they want to have those kinds of conversations to be like, look, these are real relationships.
Yeah. And whereas I feel like a lot of the other couples are like, oh, like, would you want kids like for a future, where Kara and Jared are like, would you want kids with someone else? Not with me. This is not happening.
Yeah, like, you can't have any with me, even if you wanted them. But like with someone else.
Yeah.
Zach and Elizabeth are having a really tough time with the challenge, especially Zach. And Elizabeth says that she would want no more than 3 kids. And Zach says, but 4 is a party.
Zach is struggling with 1 fake baby. I don't know that I'm trusting Zach with 4 live human babies.
Yeah, it's real cute to say 4 is a party when you don't have to give birth to them.
Yeah, I don't think Zach is going to necessarily want 4. I think after 1, he might be deciding to tap out.
Yeah, and Elizabeth has a cute comment about how she definitely wants to have a child of her own, but she also wants to adopt, which is really great. And especially if you want more than 2 children. Looking to adopting.
I've seen, like, I was very excited to hear all of the couples pretty much at one point, like, especially when, like, the guys are laying around being talking about opening open to adopting. And, oh, like, maybe I want 1 or 2 of my own, but, like, I also would love to adopt and, like, give a kid a home. And I think that especially Zach has seen the method of adopting a baby at 10 might not be the worst idea. Skip past all this, Zach.
Nobody is giving Zach a child at 10. Nobody's giving Zach a child, period.
I mean, we'll see. Zach and Elizabeth, while I am not their biggest fan, I do think have a shot outside of here.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, adoption wise, I don't know that he would be
placing a child in his care.
Yeah, that he would be a great candidate. I think Zach is more the type that will end up having babies, maybe not necessarily on purpose.
Oh, no.
I mean, maybe on purpose, too, but I don't think he would be able to adopt.
We'll see. I mean, at the, you know, adopt a 10-year-old baby at 40, you know, joking policy, he has 17 more years. So who knows what Zach is going to be like.
I wonder what being on a reality show would mark on your adoption application.
Ooh, definitely. Like, it's a note.
It's a negative note for sure, I think.
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's a positive one.
Yeah. Interesting. Dylan, again, was super excited, but he is getting tired, probably because he's like working out with baby and stuff. Mm-hmm. Dylan says that he does want kids and it would be a deal breaker if someone didn't want them. Alex wants children, but is like very nervous about the birthing process, which I think is more than fair. Emily is doing a really good job, but Weston keeps trying to get in the way.
Yeah, I love Emily's like, I know what I'm doing. Weston does not, and he is enthusiastic, but he's not good at this. Also, I don't think Alex wants kids.
Alex definitely does not want kids, but she just kind of had to say it in that moment.
Yeah, she even says to the women later, like, oh, I've always been so standoffish about kids. But like seeing Dylan like has been so good with them, like that has been interesting. But it's like Alex does not want kids, but Dylan does. So she'll say she does right now.
Yeah, and it's totally fine to not want kids.
Oh, 100%. And Alex is they're all young. Everyone's young and they have many years till they're 40 and have to adopt a 10-year-old child. So she has time to develop.
This is just, I don't know why you keep going back to this. This is not a valid plan. And I also just want to say that enthusiastic but not good at this is probably the title of Weston's autobiography. So the moms get to go on a trip to get a break, go for drinks while the dads stay home. The boys think they're going to do fine, except for probably Zach. And Elizabeth thinks that her and Zach would have angel children.
Yeah, I love all the women are like, no, 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 no. None of us agree that it's going to be a demon baby. And Elizabeth's like, why? I think Zach will be a great dad. Like, no, he will not be. He's not good. He's doing very poorly.
Yeah, it's like there has been no indication that he would be a good dad, but okay. And there's a really funny confessional from the men being like, we've had the babies for 5 minutes. Why do the women need a break?
Yeah, I think it's like this type of thing where, all right, let's see how these dads do. And if the dad Cathalon is any indication, not well. They're very, very not well.
Not great. I'm glad these are not real babies.
Yeah, as I forget who said, if they were real babies, they would have been in jail.
For a second, I thought you meant the babies would be in jail, and I was like, wait, what?
I mean, I don't think the babies would have been alive to make it to jail
I don't think these babies would have done well in prison either.
No, definitely not. Especially Zach's, which he dropped so hard on its head that there were scuff marks on it.
Yeah, Elizabeth and confessional being like, he dropped the baby on its head. There's scuff marks.
Yeah, oh, but no, he'll be a good dad and they'll have an angel baby. Don't worry.
I mean, the fortunate thing is like, when the babies are very young, normally you can get like my neighbor when I was like very young, like dropped their baby and it fell on cement at like 3 months old. And the fire department was like, yo, you're lucky this baby's so young because when they're this young, they bounce. And when they're a little bit older, they do not. And your baby would be dead. So it might be better that they did the dad Cathalon so early.
Yeah, one day in. So then we're fine. This baby's bouncing.
One day in, they bounce, I think.
You got the bouncing babies.
It's definitely the same as 3 months.
I mean, that's what I just heard. So, again, maybe a disclaimer that people should not be bouncing
Babies.
But, like,
also, yeah, no, don't. It's not to be, like, drop your baby. It's to be, like,
it's not a free pass to be careless at 3 months.
Yeah, very fortunately that this child was okay.
Yes. Disclaimer.
It's like something that still haunts me over 10 years later that I like didn't catch the baby. I like dove for him and he like I like just it was really close.
Yeah. Story
it haunts me.
When I was very, very maybe kindergarten, first grade, we were playing like just football, like catch in on the playground, and horrifying as a little kid, but I'm running back and jump to catch the ball and trip over a stroller Luckily, said baby was strapped in very tightly, but very much scarring for life. And now I am very nervous around, like, even like my friend's babies. Like, I'm great with kids, but like terrified from that day.
Oh no. Yeah,
horrifying, but everything was fine. We're good.
Oh, I'm glad. Oh my goodness. Okay, well, we both have horrifying baby stories. Good to know. So after everything, the boys talk about how they're so excited to be dads and they're down to adopt a kid too. Interesting. Karen and Ray have a cute conversation about how important family is. And Kara says she wants Ray to be her baby's daddy.
Oh, exciting. I'm ready. Let's have it. I'm ready for the Ray and Caro baby. Let's get that at the reunion.
I want the real baby Quest.
Oh, they have to name the first one Quest.
Boy or girl, that name works for anyone.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a gender neutral name. Caro will buy it yellow and green clothes. It'll be great.
I love it. So at the end, they get the text that Ray and Caro were the best parents. Dylan and Alex and Kira and Jared passed. Weston and Emily and Zach and Elizabeth failed. And apparently Zach tried to smother the baby to silence it.
Oh, yeah. Zach, dad of the year. Angelic baby.
Zach, it's not a real baby. Like, find the batteries. Why just, are like, you going for a pillow?
Again, and when I say I want them to take it seriously, like, have fun with it, but like, don't put a pillow on your baby's mouth to make it quiet.
No, that is certainly not how parenting is supposed to work. I mean, I'm personally not a parent, but I'm just going to say it right now. Don't try to smother your child.
Yeah, confidently can say.
Yeah, like with confidence. Yes, I have my babysitter's course. Okay, guys, you can trust me. So then we get Kira talking about how she loves Cashel. They only live 20 minutes apart. When she gets home, the first thing she's going to do is call Cashel.
Made me so happy, and I'm very, very glad that we got this before you got a chance to speak to Cashel, and hopefully you can ask for his reaction. Maybe don't spring it on him too hard, but see how that goes.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a little worried because I feel like it's a thing, as we've talked about before, where when things are good, she pulls away, and when things are bad, she really wants it. And so I don't know if this is fair to Cashel.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, and obviously I don't presume to know how Kira is in relationships outside of the villa, but maybe outside, like, they'll have their own space and she'll get like a break, you know, every so often. So the red flags that she did see are not full deal breakers, but I am at least optimistic. Like she said, they only live 20 minutes apart, so I am hopeful for this one.
Yeah, absolutely. We also get Ray and Caro not even together, just talking to everyone about how much they like each other. They're so cute.
Yeah, a big fan. Again, this is part of like my hopeful Ray and Caro winner edit. I'm really hoping this comes through. I think we at least need good competition for Zach and Elizabeth. I thought that was going to be Dylan and Alexandra, but now I really feel like these three couples have solidified as the top three.
Yeah, they've really brought it, and I do like that. And I do think that they have a good shot. I just wish that Ray had come in earlier so that they would have had more time. So they do a series of party games where they have to, the balloon popping is like the men have balloons tied to them and the women have to thrust to pop them.
Yeah, I think this was definitely the genders were swapped here to get the 8 p.m. CBS approval.
Very good point. And then they did the pass the fruit classic. Yeah.
Nothing too exciting. Caro said she made a great investment on her implants and that they're finally coming into play.
I was hoping that they would talk more about apples here, but
Wow, what a missed opportunity.
I know. So then Weston and Kira have a conversation. Kira's upset. She feels like his actions made her think he's not genuine. She is not a normal friend because they expressed feelings and he didn't handle it well. She felt like a second choice. And then Weston again comes back with I respect your opinion, but it just hurts to hear it from like my best friend. I don't want to leave until we fix it. Like we built a beautiful friendship. And it's like, whatever.
Yeah. I love where he's like, I'm not leaving until we fix it. And her immediate response is like, I love you and we're friends again. So get him out of the villa. We're done. It's already fixed.
Yeah, go away. So then Weston gets a text that tonight is the last night in the villa for one couple and nobody wants to leave. But Kira says, you know what? When it's my time, it's my time, which makes sense with her and Jared.
Yeah, I don't think, I think, and well, Kira is my favorite. I am content. We're in the last week. It's going to be the Monday. I'll only have two episodes without her. I do think that they probably included this knowing that she was towards the bottom of last poll.
Yeah, so we're a little bit nervous there. So then there was a vote last night for who do you want to see in the finale, and who did you vote for?
Here is where I voted for Ray and Caro.
Yeah, Ray and Caro get all of my votes.
I'm not letting them get robbed. I will be voting for them for the rest of the season. You know, as long as nothing extremely problematic happens next week or anything. But they are my vote. That's the horse I'm backing. And I'm team Ray and Caro for the rest of the season.
Yes, and we are on the same page. So that's it for the episode. Are there any other last thoughts or anything that we missed? And by episode, I mean episodes, because there's five.
No, just we have one more, you know, half week left, one more podcast. I'm sad it's ending, but I'm very glad we're getting a season two. I'm excited to finish the UK version and highly recommend for anyone that is missing Love Island to check that out. Also excited for, you know, Bachelor in Paradise coming back. So we're going to have a similar type show on another channel. But overall, like, very happy with how this went.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do think they captured a lot of the just like vibe of the UK version. And I'm really excited to see what they do with season two. I did pull some viewer questions. The questions are light because I forgot to post the thread until Thursday night. And that's my bad. I'm sorry, guys. I'm busy. OK. So first question is from Don Minger. She says, discuss why Caro's playing the field is better than Weston's or even Yeaman's.
We definitely touched on this. What I would say is that we didn't really see Caro telling anyone, like, you're my only option. I'm only into you. I want to meet your family. Like, yeah, Caro was enthusiastic. And I think people confused Caro's personality and her general enthusiasm for, like, leading people on, which I don't think it's the same thing at all, which Yeaman has done to a degree, but Weston has done in spades.
Absolutely. Caro is far and away better than both of them. Kevin Doherty asks, when Alexander said about Jared, who is this guy? Did you say those exact same words out loud at the exact same time? I did.
Yeah, not the quite the same exact time, but definitely like had the same thought. Like, why are you talking? Like, stop. Don't involve yourself. And who are you?
Yeah, I was with her in spirit, but not vocally. Kevin Doherty also asks, does Zach sticking up for Weston and arguing with Elizabeth make them a less boring couple or just even more boring?
I mean, I guess you could say less boring in that, like, they got content, but less likable for me, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It was really weird how the only, like, identity we got from either of them this week was through, like, other people's couples, which if you have to be defined by your views on something else, like, it's not good.
Yeah. And like I said, like, Elizabeth has definitely, I've never disliked Elizabeth. I just didn't really feel like I knew her at all. I do feel like I like Elizabeth more after this week, but Zach's just not doing it for me. Seems like he's young. He is probably, you know, fine on the outside, but like, I'm not standing. That's not happening.
Yeah, no, we will not be standing. Caitlin Ash on Twitter at CaitlinAsh227 said, what do you think they could improve on for a second season? Can they somehow capture the UK magic? Which I think they did capture the UK magic.
I would say we definitely had like a warming up period. I think this last week especially, and I don't know how much you want to attribute to Emily specifically, has been like a fun week of the UK version that I know. I know we've been having a, which just ended for most, but as I am behind, we've been having a phenomenal UK version this season. But I think it's on par with especially the first season of the UK. And you know, like a season four, it's about the same for me. I probably could come down to a slightly better casting. Don't cast as many just like likable people. Give me like exciting, fun, hot people.
Exactly. Exciting, fun, hot people is what we need. I think that the pacing could be a little bit different. I think that there was a few points where just based on when people came in, the recoupling happened too fast and there wasn't room for anything to grow or create any drama. And so I think if they adjust the pacing a little bit for next season, that would be good.
My thing is, I feel like we get a fair number of scenes which are just like fluff and fun, And I like those because they can be used to build characters and make me feel like I really know the person more so. But I feel like a lot of them were just like funny inserts, like, oh, look, there was a moth near the couples and then they ran, which like that doesn't tell me anything about someone. So you can insert that for like a second, but then give me actual like character building scenes and just make you better use of your time. I understand that they wanted to bring in a number of new islanders, and that's why like everything was so fast paced, but just let me get to know people more so.
Yeah, exactly. Like leave a little room to breathe. And then Elizabeth Berry 9 on Twitter says, is it just me or does every "I just got a text" reaction get more and more ridiculous? I feel like with all the time I'd be planning the most reactions possible. And I think this really came to a head when Yeaman got a text this week. And he was like, "I got a text." He's like dancing. He's screaming. He keeps saying it. That was, I think, the craziest one.
Yeah, I think that it was the type of thing where in the beginning of the season, it was like, okay, like, guys, like, give a little more energy. And they've just really like taken that and run. I think it'll mellow out. In the UK version, it's generally like they'll scream. Everyone will, yay, and all run over. But I don't need, you know, the guys leapfrogging over each other and like doing all of the, you know, Fortnite dances. Like we can calm it down, you know, a half step.
Oh, I can't believe we didn't talk about the leapfrogging. That was actually really impressive.
For like a minute, but then it was like, we'll be there in, you know, 7 minutes. It's like, okay, we need to see it in the real time. Like, we didn't need the real time leapfrogging on the show.
Okay, that is a very fair point. I will side with you on that one. Okay, so that is it for the questions. That is it for Love Island week 4. We will be back next week to talk about the finale. I'll be talking to Cashel and Yeaman, and fingers crossed for Winston. And I will be talking to the couple that wins at the end of it all. So look forward to all of that. Scally, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter and Instagram. Specifically, Twitter is definitely better. At Brian _ Scally, BRIAN_SCALLY.
Perfect. And you can find me on all social media at Kirsten Said What. And you can catch me doing a pretty regular update on Big Brother also on the Wrap Ups feed. As well as doing Riverdale recaps over on KowskiCast.com. That's Cow with a K. So thank you so much for checking us out this week. Thank you so much to Scott St. Pierre for editing and posting this episode. And we'll see you next time.